Let's get to know each other. My name is David. Let me tell you what I do for a living. I heal the sick. I cleanse the lepers. I cast out demons. And I raise the dead. Nothing else. I've tried lots of other things and they don't have the same value. I'm an eighth generation preacher. So you know what you can do if you're a religious twit. And it don't include me. My family's been abused by religion my whole life, and I just am absolutely a defender of the faith, not politics. We getting to know each other yet? I was a preacher's son. I had an awesome family. I was blessed of the Lord. I loved my parents. They were really good people. And then I grew up enough to bump a little bit on the outside of the church. And I found out that most of the church was worldly. They were lying to me, and it disappointed me. So I got angry and left. I joined a gang and decided to persecute the church. It was fun. Jesus came and talked to me on a jet one day, audibly, and told me these words, "You must be born again." And I spoke out loud because you see, I'm not inhibited. I just don't have natural fear of you. I thought the pilot was preaching to us, y'all, on that jet. So I got up out of my seat and was walking up there to curse this guy out for preaching to me. And the stewardess put her hand up in front of me and said, "Where are you going?" "Well, I got to talk to this captain because I don't want anybody preaching to me. This is a public environment. I'm going to shut him up from preaching the gospel." She said to me, "I know this guy. He's anything but a preacher. It's not him preaching to you." And that perplexed me. "Well, then who is it?" She said that no one's using their PA on their plane. So I went and sat down. I'm trying to think, who is it? And it spoke to me again, this voice did. "You must be born again." So I spoke back to him. "I will not." Now, I don't know what you know about this life on these jets, but think back 38, 40 years ago. And you got a guy like me, I was a roughneck. Do you understand roughneck? Yeah. Oil field hand. And I speak out loud, "I'm not getting born again." The whole jet was just looking at me. But as you can see, that doesn't faze me much. And I told heaven, I won't do it. And this is what I told God. Y'all know you can't negotiate with him. He thinks he's in charge. But we all know that men are. I said to him, "You show me one man, one, not a dozen, not 40. I want one guy that's doing what Jesus did. Show me that one person. I'll believe your word." God spoke to me again. I'm going to make you that man. And I said to him, that's a deal. So I unbuckled my seatbelt, got out in the middle of the aisle, knelt down, and I led myself to Jesus. I'd watched my daddy do it my whole life. I knew how. I did believe Jesus was the Son of God. I just didn't like the church part of things. So I got born again. When we landed in Anchorage, Alaska, I called my wife on the phone. I said, Ms. Hogan, I'm born again. She fell on the floor. Boom. She dropped the phone. I thought she died. She didn't die. She was so excited, she fell down. And then a little while later, I heard about this missionary from Nigeria going to be in our area. I didn't know what that was, a missionary. Never heard that word in my life. So I told my wife, let's go see what that is. Over at this charismatic church. I asked them when I got there, what is charismatic church? What does that mean? They said, it's where the Holy Ghost comes and people speaks in tongues. I said, what's a Holy Ghost? And what's a speak in tongues? They say, come and see. So I went in that church building. There's this skinny guy. You know Larry Stockstill? Y'all know him? Larry Stockstill. That's who it was. He's a good friend now. But at the moment, we're going to fight. Because he gets up there and starts talking about Jesus, right? This Larry Stockstill fellow, this missionary from Nigeria that goes out in these villages and fights these witch doctors and weird stuff happens. I never heard these words in my life. And then he said it. We were in a village and this lady was bewitched. She had a big sore on her leg. They laid their hands on her and a big giant frog jumped out of it. And she was healed. And when he said that, I don't know why, but that bothered me the most. I told my wife, I ain't never read a verse like that in my Bible. And I've been reading this thing a long time. I said, somebody needs to go up there and slap that joker. I guess it'll be me. So I threw my Bible down and I started up there. And I'm going to hit this fella right in the face for thinking he had the right to make light of me in such a way. A frog jumping out of a human. Are you serious? And he's up there talking. He come down off the platform. You should have seen this skinny fella. Cause I'm rolling up on him. I'm going to put him out. I done dropped my shoulder. This is going to happen. He just raised his finger up. He never took his eyes off of me. Jesus. That's the last thing I remember. Listen to me. 3 days. I couldn't eat. I couldn't talk. I couldn't work. I could just sit there and look at my wife. the fire of God hit me. And it's not diminishing. It's growing. Not long after that, I'm in a rocking chair on my way to, I'm fixing to go to work in a few minutes. And that voice that spoke to me on the jet said to me, Mexico. I told my wife, what in the cat hair is a Mexico? She said, I don't know. So I wrote it down on a piece of paper and went to work. Probably 5 days later, I'm sitting in the same chair. I'm fixing to go to work again. That same voice spoke to me again. Mexico. So I told my wife, we got to go to the library. Nowadays, you just hit Google. I had to actually go study. Found out it's a nation. They speak Spanish. They eat chilies and black beans. For some reason, God had it all planned out. Once I studied the thing, my phone rings, and it's a fellow on the other end says, look here, I'm a missionary from Mexico. I said, okay, hold on. What do you mean missionary? What does that mean? I left houses, homes, mamas, and daddies, and I went to the mission field. I went to Mexico. I said, Mexico? There's a voice been speaking to me about that nation. He said, I'm coming to your church on this day here. I said, fine. He came, the place was full, more full than this. And we had never seen that many people. It was in the Mississippi Delta in a cotton field in Louisiana. That's where I'm from. Just in the edge of a big swamp. That's where I ate. I got my food from that swamp. Because if it's crawling, eat it. And that man stood up there and he said something. I don't even remember the Bible verse. He said there are hundreds of thousands of villages with no gospel. I stood straight up. I said to him, that cannot be true. This is modern times. That was 1974. How could there be places on the planet that the gospel hasn't reached? He said, that is the right question. He said, because my people, God says, my people won't humble themselves and call on God. I said, I don't believe you. He said, they told me about you. Come and see for yourself. I said, I'll do it. I didn't have a clue what I was saying. That's a long ways. I'd never left the state. Furthest I went was Anchorage, Alaska, when I got born again. That was the very first time I ever left Louisiana. They tried to get me to go to Texas once. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't carry enough bullets. Y'all, I went down there, I saw it for myself. Far as you can see. You get on top of these huge mountains. You can see 200 kilometers. Not one Christian. And there's 110 million people live there. I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I sat down on a log in one of those villages. And the Holy Ghost said these words to me. Start here. Start what? Do what? He never would answer me. So I said, fine, I'll come back. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'll do whatever I'm supposed to. I'll figure it out. I went back, quit my job. We sold all of our junk. I went to language school. I learned Spanish. Got down there. No money. Went out to my first village. Got these sick people in front of me. I lay hands on them and they all died. I went back and I sat down with my Bible and I read my Bible to God. I said, listen to me. This is not what your word says. Your word says they're supposed to be healed. Why are they dying? Nothing. So I went back out there again. Some more people died. I come back and I told my wife, this thing's not working. It can't be my fault. I said, I love Jesus. I have left houses and homes. I have left my job. We're suffering without money. We don't even have food. Why won't this work? See, without food, all that obedience I did, it still didn't work. And you're sitting here with food and all this stuff and you can't get it to work. And you think you're brighter than I am. Well, at least I can raise the dead. So I decided to seek the Holy God. I decided to try to find Him and please Him. No matter what the cost, because I've already paid a big cost. I was making right around 5,000 take home US dollars a month and I was a kid. So I was already paying a price. As far as finances and family goes, to us it was a steal price. And then I got there to do my job and it didn't work and I'm not good at my job and I hate that. You have no idea. I like to be good at what I do. Now I'm one of the best alive. So how did we get there? How do we come from a zero to a champion? What is it that cut us out of the herd? Don't you think that's the right question? Because I know what you want. I know why you're here. Anybody in this room can do the things I do. You don't have enough reason or logic to avoid the mercy of God. The goodness of God overrides everything. Amen. I took my Bible, not this electronic thing, but the paper one. This is before all this came out. But I took my Bible, I took it apart, y'all. I've studied my Bible my whole life. I left the church for a while, you know, because I was angry. But my mama taught me the Bible before I went to school the first day. I could quote you every story in the Bible perfectly. Knowing them is different than doing them. So how do you get to know the God that does these things? This is why we're here, right? I took my Bible apart. I had these notebooks, these spiral notebooks. Is that what y'all call them? I don't know if that's what you call them or not. I wrote down everybody in the Bible, all of them, starting in Genesis, went straight through to Revelations. Took me 6 months. I took the whole thing apart. Then I categorized everybody. How much did they pray? How much did they fast? What was their family life like? What were their kids like? What were the results of their prayer life? And I had the whole thing, and I mulled over it for months and months because I couldn't do the job. And then one day I told my wife, I've come to a conclusion. This is impossible. She said, then what are we going to do? I said, we're going to bow. Every one of these men that have results at what I think we should be doing were men of prayer, were men of fasting. We're men of responsibility, men of duty, men of success, faithful, dedicated, diligent human beings. I can do those things. I can fast. I can pray. God will teach me. He loves me. So I did. I started doing all that stuff. Modern church don't like to talk about prayer and fasting anymore. Hence, you get the results that you want. Nothing. But you see, there's people like me traipsing around the planet looking for an army. But we're going to win this thing. With the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to be ashamed. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to worry with men. We're going to worry with pleasing God. Four years, I lost nearly everybody I prayed for. That's very disappointing. I mean, it got to where I'd go into a village and they'd say, there's coal here, but don't you pray for them. And then one day, see, this is where it starts. It's a suddenly event. Acts chapter 2, what's the first word? Suddenly. So are we in, where are we? Psalms or Acts? Psalms. Number 3. Verse 1. Y'all there? Psalms 3:1. Lord, how they are increased who trouble me. See, trouble was what was going on around me. I'm supposed to be part of the solution. But I cannot make it work. Many are they who rise up against me. These witch doctors were having a field day with me. I come there preaching Jesus can do anything, and we saw nothing.
Verse 2.
Many are saying of me, there is no help for him in God. That's exactly what it looked like. Some of you sitting right here right now, you're at that point. You feel like you've given it your best shot. You've done your best. You have tried to love Jesus. You have tried to submit your family and your success to God. And people are abusing you and criticizing you, and you feel overwhelmed with failure. Here's what R.W. Shambach taught us to do. Tie a knot in the end of the rope and hang on and hush. God's coming directly. He'll be along. He's coming. I went out to a village. I've been doing this with some medium to no results. A man met me at my truck. Fancy American four-wheel drive. Nice integrity music playing in there. But I can't do anything. I got the best civilian truck known to humans. I got the best music known to humans. I got the best wife in the world. But yet it doesn't seem to phase hell at all. Me having an awesome life didn't impress the demons. There's something else we need. It's called the mercy of the Holy God. I got out of that truck and there's this Indian standing there. No shoes. Clothes full of holes. People I work with are in the top five poorest in the world. He looked at me. Te necesito, hermano David. I need you, brother David. I said, mucha gente me necesita. Lots of people need me. He said, my boy's almost dead. Now I need you to come heal him. I said, you know I'm not very good at my job yet. His response was awesome. He said, you're better than what I've got. And I told him, thank you. So I said, you got to wait. You got to wait. Because if you know your Bible, you know this verse. I believe it's Psalms 107:20 maybe. God sent his word to heal. See, I'm not the healer. The healer's name is Jesus.
Amen.
And so I said, we got to go over here and preach the word. The word is what heals. Y'all all know I can't heal you. You've seen that. But this word is true. Somehow it's going to start working. I don't know how. But we're going to stay with it till it does. So we went and had a small group, probably 40 people. I told him how awesome Jesus was. I said, even though I have not seen it, I know him to be really awesome. I got through, some people got saved. I was happy about that. Thank you, God. At least something's working. I was packing up my stuff, and that guy says to me, you going to my house? Pray for my son? Sure. I forgot. So we started hiking through the woods, through the jungle where I live. It's tropical. Well, I can't tell you how awesome it is. Those Indians have converted me. I'm a jungle fella. I can live indefinitely out there now. They're right, those people. You in this mall, you're not right. That stuff's going to fail you one of these days. Jesus won't. And I started hearing this woman screaming. She was quite loud. I didn't know what was wrong with her. Sounded like she was having a fit. We went straight to that house where the woman was screaming. Our houses are made out of grass. The roofs come down pretty low. You have to bend down to go in them. The walls are made out of sticks, out of bamboo. He goes in that room. A few minutes he comes out, but his countenance changed. Something was in that room that made him different. And then, just like meeting Larry Stockstill that day, just like meeting God in the jet that day, my world was fixing to change again. And I have not a clue. I don't know these. I don't go looking for change. I go looking for Jesus. And he brings me to destiny and purpose. He suits me. He armors me in God's character. So that when I meet destiny, destiny recognizes me. And he put his finger in my face. Now, I believe every born again person needs this experience. And he said these words to me. My little boy is dead. And you're going to do something about it. And I'm looking at him. I didn't bring any spare life with me. I don't know how to do this. Neither do you. But you have to make a decision. When you meet destiny and purpose, you have to decide to walk with them. Or they'll pass you by. And I told him, show me what you got. So he goes in. I go in behind him. Now, listen, I apologize to you about this. What I'm fixing to say to you, I was more caught off guard than you're going to be right now. I raise up and there's just these five candles burning in there. And I look and there are six men standing there. They are my enemies. Three black magic warlocks. They hate me. And I return the favor. I hate them back. They are demons. I owe them but one thing. Repent or burn. And there are three spiritist healers standing there. They hate me. And I looked over there and there's the mama, the screamer person, holding a 9-year-old stiff boy. I was in a bind. Do you understand what I just said to you? My enemies, death, I've never seen this before. Everybody I touch dies. At least he's not going to die. So I made a decision. Now, if you would have been there, because you're such an awesome teacher, if you would have been there, you could have taken my young, youthful, impetuous, aggressive self and taught me not to do what I did next. But you weren't there. I rolled up on this black magic warlock, the first one. We're this close. And I'm looking at him. He's cursing me, spitting on me. And I'm looking him right in the eyes. And I leaned over. Bam! Listen. You have no idea how bright hell can get. I stepped to the second guy. And I'm looking at him. How's it going? Bam! Bam! Woo! These guys were lit up. And I'm sitting there. We're just looking at each other. I mean, we're seething. Ooh, it's like the All Blacks. And then I heard, I was distracted for a minute by these bad guys. And then I heard the mama again. You understand? She's not interested in what we're doing. Her loss is the value to her. Do you understand that? I heard her again. And so I back over. I'm looking at these guys. I'm backing away from them. I'm looking at them. And I turned. To get to her, I had to put my enemy at my back. Did you understand the statement? It's not tactically smart to put your enemy on your back. But when you're walking with destiny and purpose, it don't matter what the enemy's doing. It matters what God's doing. And so I ease over there and mom's, you know, she's looking at me because see, when she saw me, you should have seen hope fill her eyes. But I don't have a track record of success. If you was to put it on paper, I should have went home months ago. But she quietly backed up from that little boy. She's just sobbing now. She's subdued. I didn't know what to do. I wish I could spiritualize this and make you feel bad. But that's not what you need. You need to understand that you're not alone in this. Because you don't have experience don't mean you can't do the job. It only means you don't have experience. I got down on this little boy. He's stiff, tacky, color's gone. They're really dark, almost black people. He's whiter than me. And I'm laid up on top of this kid and I'm looking at him. And I put my ear down, trying to find, I don't know, just one in 30 seconds would be okay. Just one heartbeat. But there wasn't any. So what do? Well, you pray, brother. Praise the Lord. If that were true, then all of y'all would be dead raisers. I honestly didn't know what to do, but then, even though the place was tense, all these enemies are there, the environment is harsh for the gospel. Well, for me. Verses started going through my mind. Elijah, he rolled in on that kid. What did he do? He laid on top of that kid. God, why'd you hide this from me? He said, come back here. So the kid came back. And then when Jesus rolled in on that 12-year-old, She's sleeping. They laughed him to scorn. He threw them out. He said to her, get up now, dear. She stood up. I said, God, and I quoted the verses to him. I said, I don't know how to do this. So I'm going to start in English and we'll go from there. I prayed in English, didn't work. So I prayed in Spanish. Surely a European language will work. Didn't work. Oh my God. Ah, I'll pray in their language since I've learned their Aztec. I started praying in their language. Didn't work. Oh, I know. This new language I got, I'll speak in tongues. That surely will work. Didn't work. So I said, heaven, I'm absolutely out of fuel. I've used every language I got and the ones that I don't even know what they're saying whenever I'm saying it. And none of this stuff works. Would you please take up some kind of slack for me? Because I seem to not know what to do. And then it happened. I'm sitting there. It's been way over an hour. This kid's been dead now close to 7 hours. I'm sitting there, now look, what happened next changed me forever. You see how in your face I am. You see how aggressive I am. You see how I know I'm right. You see it. You can see it. It really puts people on edge because I'm really that away. I'm right about this. Jesus is king. Amen. And I'm what y'all call a believer. Listen, I want all of you in your life to see what I saw next. I'm in there, nothing worked. It's supposed to, but it didn't. And then the little boy's t-shirt, I don't know why, it was just smooth across his chest. I'm leaning down, I'm sweating. It's about 43 degrees centigrade in that room. I mean, I am scalded. And them guys are still spitting at me back there. But that didn't change a thing. God wasn't impressed with them or me. That little boy's shirt bounced. And I saw it. I go, are you serious? I said, no kidding. I raise up. I mean, I'm bug-eyed now. What? And the dad, his eyes are big. He goes, you saw it too? I said, I saw it. And a little t-shirt bounced. It works. It works. And about 2 minutes later, I felt the first heartbeat hit the right pulse over here. And stop. I said, no. You keep beating. I don't know what it took to get you going, but work. And then it got sporadic where it would beat about 10 or 15 and stop for a few. Beat 10 or 15. And then it got to where it was. And then I watched his color come back in his skin. And he got flexible again. And I'm just going, oh my God. Oh my God. This stuff works. Oh! And then he opened his eyes. Now to them, I'm a big white fella. It scares the fire out of them kids in these villages. But he didn't get frightened of me. He's just looking at me. I pick him up. And I didn't know what to do with him. Whose is he? Is he mine? Whose is he? But then I reminded how Elijah brought the little boy back to the mom and said, give him something to eat. Jesus brought the girl to the mom, give her something to eat. So I'm thinking, these guys probably know what's right. So I tote this little boy, and he's just as calm. He's so healthy and alive. And I bring him over to his mom, yeah. And I said to the mom, look, I don't know why it worked, but it did. Here's your son raised from the dead by the blood of Jesus the righteous. And she just took that kid. She's looking at me. She's just freaking out. I mean, you got to understand, she went from a dead kid to a live kid. Her emotions are chup. I said, I don't know why, but in the Bible, they always told mom to give him something to eat. Give him something to eat. And if you got any left, I want some too. I'm hungry also. Since that day, this hand right here, this one, this hand right here, normal chopped off finger hand, 33 dead raisins. See that? Right here. Now, are we okay on time? Time okay? Let me read a verse so we can act spiritual. Verse 3. What does it say in verse 3? Read it to me, someone. You, O Lord, what are you? You're my shield. What else are you? My glory. What else? What does it feel like to lose so much in a row and then win? How high do you think my head was by the time I got home to my wife? I don't even remember the ride home. Do you understand? My wife's cooking. It's late. Must be 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. She's cooking me a meal. I'm sitting there. Service go. How'd service go? Oh, it was all right. She said, well, anything special happened? I said, absolutely. You going to tell me about it? I said, yeah. God raised the little boy from the dead. She picked the skillet up. I thought she's going to hit me with it. I said, we won, Ms. Hogan. We won. We made it in. Now, since that day, there's a large number, over 500 dead raisings in Mexico in our work. You hear me? That's a lot of people. That's probably what we got in here. Just figure, if we wouldn't have been there, this many people wouldn't be alive. Think about it. But because of Jesus, they are.